Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. It is a great, great new week to start off a new week. So, anyway, glad you're with us here today. And if you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000, that is always the phone number. And it is always my delight when I see that in our studio, Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Alice Benton. Hi, guys.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Steve. Hi. Alicia. I like to call her Alicia.
And I call him Milan.
Yeah, Alicia. But Alice, it's wonderful to be with you, and so are you, Steve.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
And Alice, is your full name Allison or not?
It is not. Just
it
Alice.
Is not. So when people call you Allison, they are really making a huge error.
Big time. Yeah. Really gets my goat.
But you see, Alice is fluent in Spanish. That's why I like to throw it into the possible Spanish pronunciation, like Alicia. Is that accurate?
That'll do.
Okay.
And I want to know when we get to call Steve Stevie, because I always liked when Henry called you Stevie.
Oh, I tried that once
a long time ago.
Oh, no. I got reprimanded for that one.
Oh, and you know, the thing is,
Steve-O.
You know, it's so
Stevie,
weird.
Yeah, they could pull it off.
Not you.
No.
Then not me
Henry,
either.
When Henry does it.
Don't go there, Alice.
It kind of sounds natural, you know, because we've just been friends so long. And but any other person, it sounds like I'm a child. And, you know, I've been named, you know, when you're named Steve, it's Steve-a-Reno, it's Stevie, whatever. Anyway, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the calls, because I asked some people from the other day to hold on, and they have done that. And I said to Edwin, I'm going to go to you first. So, Edwin, here you are with Mylon and Allison. I mean, Alice.
Oh,
I mean, Alicia. I mean, Dr. Ben. Hi, how are you?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm alive and well. Can't complain.
Good. There's some kind of echo. There's some kind of echo thing. And if you are on anything but a regular cell phone or something, if you could switch it, it would help us. But yeah, go ahead. How can we help?
Better.
Yeah.
Is better?
Well, I can still hear a little echo. I don't know why, but go ahead and share.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Well, first of all, mine is not, you know, I know you can talk about marriages. What about dating, right? So dating someone, and then I ended up cheating on her, and I mean crushed her, right? Like, just devastated her, right? Because she was, long story short, you know, crushed her, devastated her. She was sold, you know, she was home. This was it for her, right? And it wasn't one of those situations, even as I speak to you now, where it's like I was never in, but then that's what sin does, right? It murkies everything, even stuff that was never. It makes everything look just like this was all you've been doing, right? Like you were never vested in the relationship, none of the sort, right? But my point is just how do you move? And I'm thinking just about her, right? Like I know I still want the relationship, but when is it too long? Is there ever a this is gone? Because you know, people, friends, well-meaning, of course, the situations like this, even family. Dude, it's been 3 months, if it's been a year, if it's been 2 years. Dude,
okay.
Looking for,
Well, hold on.
Just how do you move on from that?
Yeah, well, we're going to help you with that. And you hear the music playing, so I've got to take this break. I'm glad you called, so hold on, Edwin. Thanks for holding on from the other program. You're listening to New Life Live. We'll take a break. Come right back with your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Edwin, and if I got this right, Edwin, you cheated on her 2 years ago. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you would still like to have a relationship with her, but you're wondering if it's time for you to move on. Is that right? And then also, how does she move forward? Is that what another part of this?
Yeah, like, you know, yeah, because and on her end, you know, like if I'm even in the position to do so, or how to. Like, because, you know, when I, the few times and opportunities, because it's been a whirlwind of emotions, and if I may just add this, just to give the gravity of it, I guess, you know, there was also the racial aspect of it, right? She being Caucasian and me being black, you know, she stood firm, was, you know, at the time, while everything was, you know, at the time supposedly good, stood firm, you know, standing in front of her, you know, like, the defend me, so to speak, right?
Yeah. Okay.
You know, her parents, she was ready to move. And all
right.
That, but,
okay,
you know,
so what I hear is that some people, the racial thing, it was a problem, and she just stood there firm with you, supporting you. But could we start with this? Have you done anything about what it is in you that would do something so hurtful to someone that cared so much about you? Have you done any work on that?
Besides going to God, honestly,
no.
When you say work, no.
No. Now, here's the thing. That's where you need to start. Because if we do something like that one time, we'll do it again. Unless we take and intervene on that character flaw and do something about it. And that's all I wanted to say. And I'll turn it over to Mylon and Alice to help you. But really, when you humble down and say, I've got to find out what was it that I didn't even care about her enough to not get myself in the situation. I didn't care enough about her to protect this part of our relationship. And I need to find out what that was, what was missing, and I need to work on that so it never, ever happens again. Alice, Mylon, what are you guys thinking there?
Edwin, I think I hear some deep emotion in your breathing. Will you tell us what you're feeling right now?
It just crushes me because I do love her, right? Like, that's the, you know, but it's, you just can't, you know, it's in all of, just, like, and, you know, it's just, you just, it's like the scales fall from your eyes, and it's just,
and Edwin, it's this remorse that we're hearing from you that can make all the difference. This is a godly sorrow you're feeling if you're willing to put it into the action of changing and getting help. And that's partially the answer to your other questions about how long and do I move on and when do I move on. It depends. If you want to stay, Edwin, and do the necessary character work and repair the damage that you've done to your girlfriend, because you could be and become the very best man for her if you'll do more than just go to God with your behavior and your sin. Of course you have to go to God, but it takes so much more work and help to repair when there's been betrayal in a relationship. It's worth sticking around to do that work. And it's scary.
Mylon, your thoughts here. I think that's really good, Alice. It's important.
Beautiful. Edwin, I'm very proud that you called, because you're taking that extra step. You're not just going to God, you're going to people. And this show represents going to other people and saying, I need help. Would you help me? Because God uses two systems to help people grow. A vertical system, He inspiring, helping, motivating, encouraging us vertically, God Himself directly. And then He uses people horizontally to help us come along and pull alongside people to educate, comfort, sit with me in that godly remorse, and help me learn to take the new directions and steps I need to take. And then to be able to ask the question that Steve asked at the very beginning, what was going on inside of me that allowed me to take these steps, or that just was a pathway to me sinning, and where there were scales on my eyes and I didn't know what I was doing, or I didn't know how to see. And typically, Edwin, that is a larger question, because our sexual journey started a long time ago. You sound like a mature male. I don't know how old you are, but you know as well as I do, our sexual thoughts begin, you know, when we're in late grade school and junior high and high school. And so we can develop a lot of bad habits, you know, as males, especially during that period of time. And then we find someone we deeply love, but we get sucked back into those old patterns again. And it's hard. Every man's battle is a workshop that we have here at New Life. It's a weekend. And they always circle to the East Coast, and they always end up being at places where you could go and get with a band of brothers who struggle with sexual integrity, and to be able to say to your this woman, I love you so much. Here are the steps I'm taking to work on me.
And you could use this call as an excuse to ask for something. If you're really sincere, I don't want you to hurt her again, but if you're really sincere that you want to work on you, then you sign up to go to Every Man's Battle, the next one or one that's near, and then you find a local recovery group, whether it's Celebrate Recovery, a Life Recovery group, Sex Addicts Anonymous, some place where they deal with this particular problem. And you go to one of those meetings. I think that would entitle you to say to her, 2 years later, I am realizing I never went to work on the man that betrayed you, but I'm working. I went to a meeting last night. It's my first one. It's not my last. I'm going to go to Every Man's Battle. If there's anything in you that thinks we could have a future, if you knew you could trust me, please wait, because I'm going to become the man you thought I was, the man that I want to be. I'm going to be God's man. If you're sincere, you could do that. But don't call her and say, I'm going to do stuff, until you've done something different that you've never done before. That would be really important. And also, I would find a church that's got a great men's Bible study, and I'd get in that as quickly as possible. Alice, Mylon, any other thoughts here for Edwin?
Well, this is something, Edwin, you have to do for you.
Yeah.
Okay, now this sounds like a wonderful woman and worth fighting for, but you may not get her back.
Yeah.
But this is something you have to do for you, because you are deeply remorseful because you lost something that was very special to you. And that could happen again. And we don't want that to happen again. So if you work on your sexual integrity and explore that history and see all the ways that your history has derailed you and gotten you in a train wreck, probably historically as well, then you're working on you because you want to be pleasing to the Lord. And then hopefully God will send along a spouse for me to love, and I can work on my integrity as a lifelong challenge And I will do that because I love the Lord and because I love my wife.
Amen. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to send you Every Man's Battle. I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible and the workbook, special workbook. There's a general workbook, but then we've got the one for sexual integrity. And I hope that you will let us find a life recovery group for you, a counselor for you. I hope you'll do some of these things we said. Whether or not she is already married, I hope you will do these things. You will never, ever regret it. I don't know of anybody that's ever said, man, I just wish I had never gone to Every Man's Battle. Just wish I had. All right, let's go to May. San Francisco, California, listens on really an amazing station up there, KFAX. KFAX. Hi there. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
I have a 20-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to respond to my daughter.
Okay.
I have a 20-year-old daughter. She's a pretty strong Christian, walking with the Lord, attends church. A different church than I do now.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a boyfriend that is 23, who was married, and she lives in my house. And then in the evening, she has a TV in her room, and they will watch movies and get under the covers and close the door. I told her the door, you know, needs to stay open. It makes me nervous. I haven't found them, like, squished together.
Mm-hmm.
But she tells me I should trust her. She's not 16 anymore. That, you know, they've talked about, and we've talked to them, too, that, you know, we don't want this going on in my house, you know, to lead to sexual intimacy, yeah. And how important it is to save that for marriage, you know.
And, of course, that was not a shock to her to know that. We know that she knew that about you.
Right.
Here's a quick question for you. What was the divorce all about? Why did he get a divorce?
His wife cheated on him.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and
it's very sad.
Yes, it is. And he has a 3-year-old daughter, and mm-hmm. we told her that he really should pursue the relationship with his wife. They have a young daughter, then try and fix what was going on there instead of with you.
And what did she say to that?
Anyway, she said, well, she's cheated on him several times, and he can't go back.
Mm. Okay.
All right. Now they're getting a divorce.
And your question is whether or not they're not divorced yet. Is that right?
No, they're not divorced yet.
Okay.
But she said, you know, if you keep bugging me about this and you don't trust me, I'm going to move out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very tough. And your question is, should you allow the cuddling under the covers in your house? Is that the basic thing?
Yeah. They're not always cuddling, they're under the covers watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, should we allow? What do I say to her?
Yeah. Well, here's a question: are you married?
Yes, and my husband has talked with her some too.
Okay.
And with him.
Okay. So I'm gonna start, and then Alice and Mylon will give you the real answer. But here's one piece of this. One piece of this is your husband and that man. And your husband and her boyfriend need to become closer. I'm just going to say the word closer. And so,
okay.
If I was him and I didn't like what was going on, such as my daughter is dating a man that's still married and has a child, I would ask this guy, could we go to breakfast? That's inconvenient. Hey, could we have dinner together? And
yes, he
does that and tries to make it kind of a weekly thing, a regular thing, like he's pursuing him. So he's not just trying to say a few words, okay. And okay, that's good for now. But I think a big part of this is the relationship between your husband and him. I would love to see that grow to where one day the guy would say, I think maybe I can wait to date your dog. We'll be back in a minute.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking with May, and May is dealing with something that is so common when you have older kids or kids in their 20s that are dating. The system, even the committed Christians, as she described it, when it comes to relationships and stuff, it's like immediately it's the internet values of anything goes, everything's okay. Alice, let's start with you. What are you thinking here?
May, how does it affect you when your daughter accuses you of not trusting her? What's the emotion that's elicited in you?
I feel sad. Sad, disappointed.
In whom?
In both of us.
Why in yourself?
Because for her to say that, I thought our relationship was stronger.
I'm going to call that statement of hers that she goes to a tactic and a ploy. It may be unintentional on her part because she wants her mother to trust her. That's not a bad thing. But none of us is 100% trustworthy, especially when we're in love, behind closed doors, under the covers. None of us is trustworthy.
True.
Because the temptation to sexual behavior is so strong. And so I think it's good and okay to tell our children, I don't 100% trust you, because I know I'm not 100% trustworthy, and I might even share. I didn't remain completely pure before marriage. I crossed boundaries I knew I shouldn't have crossed. I wasn't trustworthy. None of us is fully. So you're right. Isn't that rough? I don't fully trust you. Let's talk about how that feels for both of us. I'm sad and disappointed that I don't. I bet you are too. I bet that's maybe even insulting to you. To get that out on the table, that already we parents have to be suspicious of our children's behavior. And then I want to give you a phrase to use, that you get to set standards in your home because something's just not working for you. So, daughter, whether or not you two are completely trustworthy over there under the covers, it's just not working for me. I'm too anxious. I'm too distressed. And so in my home, I do require that doors are open, that TV is watched in the common areas when we've got a boyfriend over, not in the privacy of a bedroom, because it's just not working for me. But if we're going to lay down that standard, may we have to decide, are we willing to risk both our child's ire with us, and are we willing to risk that they may decide, well, it is time for me to live on my own? Because standards come at a cost, and we have to decide if we're willing to pay that price. I think it's in the best interest of our children and their sexual purity, their morality, and the standards we're holding in our home.
Yep. It's a tough one. Mylan, take it from here, please.
May, is your daughter an only child?
No, she has an older brother and sister.
Okay.
But she's the last one at home.
Okay, but it sounds like the battle for you, I have several comments. It sounds like the battle for you is that you're measuring your parenting versus her sin nature. And it's, well, I've been such a good parent. She's a Christian. You know, we've raised her in her home. And I expected her to do or be something differently than she's behaving. Additionally, our relationship has changed. But relationships do change when kids get to her age. But I just wanted to ask those clarifying questions. But I have to ask another question that is sort of non-obvious. How old is this young man's daughter?
Three.
Okay, you know what that tells me? It tells me that he's 23 years old. That tells me he impregnated his wife when he was 19.
Right.
Now, what that means is he didn't know her. He couldn't have known her. She's cheated on him. But what we know is that the relationship was not a solid start. And I'm going to guess, and this is a wild guess on my part, that they may have gotten married because they had a baby. Now, that
I
don't know that answer either. But he was 19 when he impregnated his wife. If she's 3 years old now and he's 23 right. years old. So yeah. Your daughter needs to think that through. What is his history? What has he done? What has, you know, yeah, I'm sure he likes being cozy. But what is the result and the cost of coziness? And it's like Alice already said, I don't trust anybody under the covers, you know, because all you got to do is, you know, it doesn't take much to get things going. But I think your daughter needs to stop and ask, who is this guy? And one of my pet peeves as a Christian and as a dad and as a grandfather is, how well do we vet? What's the vetting process for deciding who I'm going to invest into for a spouse or a friend that I love or a person I'm falling in love with? Who are they? What's their history? Where have they been? What do they do? What are their values? And this young man really needs to stop. And he can say, well, I can divorce her because she's been unfaithful and cheated on me. But who's to say that she didn't cheat with him?
And another ugly angle to this is that if you're enabling the dating in your home, you're actually enabling an affair to be taking place in your home because he's still a married man.
Right. Yeah. So and there's so much here. Other, so yeah, much
I've got
here.
One more thing I want to add. I'll do it after the break. But I'll say this, he's not been without a go-to person here.
Yep.
They're not even divorced, and he's in this relationship. When we come back, I'm going to tell you how much trouble that could be for your daughter in the future. You are listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and I'm so glad, May, that you've called. I just want to tell you one more thing. You know, when my wife divorced me, then John and Henry, we were all very close doing radio all the time, they made me promise that I would date 20 people before deciding on the person I was going to marry. Now, they knew that here was what John said. He said, you have been so mistreated that we're afraid the first person that's nice to you, you're going to think it's God's will that you marry that person. So they said 20. Now, here's what that did. It takes time to date 20 people. So it guaranteed there would be a stretch of time. I wouldn't get involved with just one person. But now as I look back, you know, I don't question whether or not I married the right person or a great person, because I've got 19 examples of people that I just didn't care for. And many of them were great, wonderful people. So it was such an assurance. This guy may wake up when his prefrontal cortex is fully formed, as mine was talking about at the break, and say, wow, I didn't even go out on my own. I just went from one thing to the next. And he's not getting help. revenge affairs are so common, and it can you can get into a wonderful committed relationship, and this kind of revenge affair force takes over, and then you go be unfaithful. All sorts of crummy stuff about this. And so I think you and your daughter getting closer, having some chats, it's not just about you wanting to control or whatever, you're trying to protect her. And your husband getting with him, your husband ought to be the one to say to the boy, here's the deal. You need to be on your own for a while. You need to be out there with no female to rely on or to comfort you. You need to be on your own. My daughter's not going anywhere. You guys don't need to break up. Just take a break. Take a 6-month break. And you be on your own and see what you learn about yourself. If I was your husband, that's the kind of stuff I'd be saying to this young man.
And you know what else, Steve? I taught my two grown daughters as they were going through adolescence what the male mind is like. It's filled with testosterone, and it's very different than the nurturing mind or brain of a female that is activated by a dozen hormones every month that fluctuate through a 28-day cycle. And I taught them the difference between how females think and feel and how males think and feel, and to really be on guard and to be aware. And most women are naive as to the things I've just said. So because they'll project a female thinking pattern onto the male, and they'll think, well, he'll think like I do. But no, they don't.
And to sum up, she says, if you restrict me, I'm going to move out, as if I'm forcing, you would be forcing on her to move closer to this guy, maybe move in with this guy. Whereas what you're doing now is really allowing a relationship to continue mm-hmm. to develop in your home that is absolutely inappropriate. Mm-hmm. So for the sake of keeping her from living with him, you're really kind of pushing them forward in the relationship that is just too early. Mm-hmm. And I'd be saying to her, you're going to have to do whatever you're going to do, but this is what we have to do. Otherwise, we're enabling something that might be okay one day, but it isn't okay right now. And I know those are really, really tough things. You have a final comment before we jump over here? Well, we'll talk to Larry here in a second. But anything else you want to say about this tough situation?
Well, the other question you have to ask the daughter is, what are you going to do with the unplanned pregnancy?
Yeah, that's right.
Because, you know, what does that mean? What will you do now? The boy you're dating, and I'm going to use the word boy right now because Steve used it, but I think it's appropriate. He was in this situation once before.
Yeah.
And so now, what are you going to do if you're in that situation?
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious. Any thoughts you want to share? I know this is tough.
Well, I can't wait to listen to the replay of this. I have to have a talk with him.
With your husband. Yeah. Have your husband listen to it. Yeah.
Yeah, I will. My husband did talk with him and said, you know, I'm concerned because you were married and you were used to having sex, and are you going to do that with my daughter?
And there's so many more things. No. Yeah, there's so many more things to be concerned about. But that's really, really essential that he's having that talk. I'm going to send you a couple of things. One, I'm going to send Take Your Life Back. I'm going to send you Is This the One? Both of those are for her. And I hope and pray that they might give her some direction that she would take. They're not meant to make her feel bad. They're meant to honor her and make her strong. All right. Glad you called. Larry, we're coming to you a little late today. What do you have for us? And please, I got two callers, Kathy and then I've also got Joe. And so we'll get to your call.
I'll try to be quick here. We have Lose It for Life coming up in just a couple of weeks here. And most of our testimonies are from women, but we do have men that attend this and give
That's
us testimonies
right.
as well.
Yeah.
And so I want to remind guys about that. Here's what a gentleman said. My life before coming to Lose It for Life was unhealthy and incomplete despite all my efforts to maintain control. I carried my burdens inside and pushed away most people who tried to get close to me and become friends. This weekend's been eye-opening to a painful point at times. However, through the pain and discomfort has come much growth mentally and spiritually. A vast amount of information and knowledge was shared and received by me, and I'm leaving with a better understanding of my thought process, which has led me to unhealthy habits. Now I can make changes and take actions leading in more positive and healthy direction. He had a renewing of the mind, that Romans 12 event.
He sure did.
That's a Holy Spirit thing. And so, folks, if you can support us in that, please do. And guys, gals, if you're having trouble with the weight situation, give us a call. We can help you. It'll be really a special time.
And, you know, the initials JC, Jesus Christ, it's also what the initials for Jenny Craig. We've got Jesus over here. And so be sure you don't get confused there. And we want to help you from the inside out. And the thing that might be missing from your plan is Jesus Christ. And Michelle Spadafora is this physical fitness phenomenon. And she's one of the most deeply spiritual, healthy persons on the planet. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Michelle's also the most joyful person you'd ever want to meet.
She really is.
It's fun to work out with her and learn from her.
Yeah, it is. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to join us, or if you can help us, maybe you could provide a scholarship for someone there. Let's go to Joe. He's calling from Indianapolis. Joe, how are you today? What's going on, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing okay. How could we help you?
Good. I'm going to make this real short. I knew the Lord at 16. Even earlier, because my mom used to make us go to church. I turned my back on him in over 40-some years, doing the things that I've done, sinning and being in the military and, you know, this and that. And now I'm sick. I'm really sick. And
What are you sick from?
Desert Storm. Having a lot of undiagnosed illnesses that the doctors can't find out the problem.
No.
A lot of issues with my pancreas.
Okay, so what is the question for us? You fell away from the Lord. Now you're sick. What's the question?
My question is, I'm feeling guilty about asking him for forgiveness, for turning my back on him. And so I don't really know how to go about doing it because I'm feeling guilty, I'm feeling like I'm asking him now for forgiveness because, you know, I've turned my back on him. So how can I not feel guilty, and how can I go about continuing trying to get back on track with the Lord?
Okay, you call the right place. We're going to help you with this right after this break. And I really do believe that if Kathy will hold on, we'll get your call too. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, we will send you a copy of Daniel Amen's book, Conquering Worry and Anxiety. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. And Joe, I'm going to start by saying this. One of the most profound scriptures about God is that He is rich in mercy. And then The other scripture to go with that for you, buddy, is that his mercies are new every morning. This morning, there was new mercy for you. And God doesn't want you distant. He sent his son to die on a cross to bring you back to him. So Satan wants you to feel guilty. God wants you to repent, know that his forgiveness, his grace and mercy is for you. Mylon, your thoughts here.
Well, Joe, you made me, with your story, you made me, a mere mortal, want to draw closer to you by what you said.
Yeah.
And I'm just a mere mortal. And God, who is the basis of everything we know about unconditional love, he the Bible says he inclines his ears to the prayers of the righteous. And it's a righteous prayer. Lord, I want to come back. So I think it's important for you to understand this is the pattern of history. People going away and coming back, going away and coming back. If you look at the nation of Israel, there were seven major episodes of apostasy where they forsook the Lord. And then he welcomed them back. And so we need to understand it's in God's heart to draw people back.
So what do you think?
The way I was looking at it is, you know, all the sins I was doing had made me sick as well. And I just was just, just embarrassed and afraid to ask him for healing as well.
Sure.
Well, don't waste that sickness on. Use it to bring you to him. Alice, what are your thoughts here? We don't have a lot of time.
Joe, I can validate that in a way it feels like you're cheating because you're waiting until the end. So you got to have all your fun, make all your own choices, go your own way, and now that you're in so much pain, now you're turning to God. And in a way it seems like cheating. You'd made a commitment so young and you betrayed God in that. And we all have.
Right.
None of us here have not betrayed God and turned our back on him. Mm-hmm. And God allows pain to be the call back to him. He's hoping that our pain gets to a certain point where we say, okay, I give up. I can't handle this anymore. God, I need you. Where are you now?
Right.
And he loves to answer that call. Steve mentioned Jesus on the cross. And when we think about the thief hanging next to Jesus, boy, did that man wait till the last minute to turn to God after a life of sin that ended up in a capital punishment. And Jesus happily welcomed him back. And he's just waiting to happily welcome you back too, Joe.
Totally agree. I'm really glad that you called us and let us talk to you about this. I'm going to send you healing as a choice. I think it's going to help. And I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back also. I hope that helps. And let me send you one more, The Soul of a Hero, because you can still be that hero. You already were, and you can be that again. Now let's go to Kathy, KFIA. Thanks for holding on. Auburn, California. Thanks for holding on, Kathy. How could we help you today?
Hi there. I love you all. I love your advice. And because of that, I've been a Club New Life member for years.
Thank you.
Just adore you all.
Thank
you. You're welcome. So my question is, I'm a caregiver for an 87-year-old man who's very controlling. Mm-hmm. And my question is, when do I give up and move on?
Is he abusive to you as well as controlling, or just controlling?
Well, I'm in counseling for complex PTSD, and as I'm getting healthier, I'm looking at this situation as being abusive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, so it feels abusive, and I have set boundaries that when he yells at me, I leave.
Good.
And good. I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to put up with it. I go, but then I work 3 days a week, and I go back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we don't want to be threatening any more stuff that we're not willing to follow through on. Alice, can we start with you?
But
what do you think here?
Physically abusive.
Would be helpful.
Kathy, are you financially dependent on this job, and what would happen if you left this caregiving position?
I work 3 days a week. I do make a good income. He's basically virtually deaf, so I go to his doctor's appointments. I do all his phone calls, make his appointments. But he is healthy in every other area. So we've been like playing golf 3 times a week on the 3 days that I work.
But if you left this job in order to take care of yourself,
yep,
would you survive and would you be able to find another position?
Sure. I mean, I think the economy is good and the job market is good, and I feel like, yes, I can find something. I probably wouldn't make the money I am now.
So then I want to lay out the biblical principle for when we're mistreated, especially by someone who's unrepentant in that mistreatment. Because God tells us to do what one step you've already done, to address it directly. Don't treat me like this. And if you do, I'm going to walk away. You've already done that. The second is to bring in a witness, if at all possible. And then the third is to separate ourselves if that mistreatment continues. So if you have financial security, if you're planning out what you'll do next for your job so that you're taking care of yourself and your income, then God releases us from being mistreated by people who are unwilling to change.
Mylan, what do you think? It's so good.
Be that witness?
Yes, I think anybody could be that witness. Your husband would be just the right person for the job.
Yeah. Mylan, your thoughts here.
Let's
hear what Mylan has.
Kathy, I totally agree with what Alice just said. We are in charge of how much hurt we will receive from a situation because we can walk out the door. And but I'm curious why you're asking the question that you're saying. As a caretaker, sometimes that also means we are overly caretaking. As a caretaker, it can also mean that we're codependent. So I'm wondering why you're even questioning, can I do this? Can I break it off?
I guess I'm trying to be strong and have a strong faith in God that if I leave, God will take care of me financially.
Okay, so
and
it's
because
keep going.
So I'm like, okay, that I want to trust God, and I'm not nervous about leaving, but I guess I look at his dependency on me is very strong because we live in an area where he doesn't have any friends. He does have a couple brothers. They're about 30, 45 minutes away, and I know he relies heavily on me, like going to the doctors, and if I don't do that, he wouldn't have somebody else.
Well, then, but you know what? He's going to have to, if he can play golf 3 times a week, then that means he can keep score. If he can keep score, that means he can figure things out.
Yeah.
And so he's going to have to solve his own problems. It is not up to you to solve his problems.
Yeah. I would just say this.
Yeah.
You may have to leave to stay. And if I were you, I would say to him, here are the things that I love about taking care of you and the things about this job. Here are the things that I'm just not in a place that I can tolerate them. And you have a little list there, and you just read that list or you'll miss something. You know, yelling at me is never appropriate. And then you say, if you continue with these, you're going to have to find someone else. Maybe that will, if he knows that you're serious, maybe you bring your husband over to say it with him, that it's different. Maybe it will change.
Okay.
But he may have to bring somebody else in to just show how much he cares for you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.